a purple sunset face. Are we really here alone? On the main street of the world. Relocated from our home.
This is Indian World on your community radio station, KBOO. It's nice when you remember to turn the mic on, John. And I was saying that we refer to the drum, the traditional type drum, as the heartbeat of the earth, and we're always happy to hear it. We were happy to celebrate with our brothers and sisters at Portland State University here the other day. This is Native American Awareness Week. I just call it, or I just call it Indian Month. Month, not week. I just call it Indian Month. And, you know, we do things all year round, but we get recognized once a year. If we get recognized once a year officially, that's better than we did for a long, long time. And as I said last time, I believe, we had an alien problem, too. And our Western brothers and sisters gave us hell about that because they said we had very poor immigration policies in the old days. And the country's gone to hell. So we'll have to try to do what we can to restore a little Indian culture to this part of the world. And here on Indian World, we're with the help of the Great One, we're here every other week. And in between times, the fabulous Eugene Johnson, the little young curmudgeon. I guess young and curmudgeon don't usually go together, but he's a bit of a hellraiser, and he is bright and talented. I'm just hoping he can get that business of his latest poetry book cleared up so that we can read it on the air. He had some technical problems in the printing of it. Well, let's see. We have Samantha here, and we have Sunshine here.
Oh, see, oh, John, how you doing?
Okay.
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Sunshine, why don't you pull your mic down a little bit by the handle? That's it. That's it. Okay. kind of funny. She's working with a microphone that was about a foot over her head, and she's holding her head way back, like a bird waiting for baby bird waiting for food to drop into its mouth. Well, some interesting things happen over and over and over again, and sometimes it's hard to tell where to start. We get thrashing around. We're kind of disorganized in some respects, and there's too much junk and too little space, and things get piled up, and then, oh, where did that go? Where did that go? Just before airtime. And we're going crazy looking for certain things. So we have to admit that now and then we just can't find certain notices and things that we had last week or 2 weeks prior. And we apologize for that, but we do what we can do. Well, what we can do now is to be quiet and play some more music. We started out with a couple of pieces by Red Thunder, and that's on Makoche Records. Red Thunder's been around for a while. I was always wondering when to, properly how to pronounce it, because I know a little Lakota, but I wasn't totally sure if it was M-A-K-O-C-E. I wasn't sure if that was Makoche or Makose Wakan. And that's a group that we enjoy hearing once in a while. I know our audience enjoys them too. But we're going to go to a little different musician here. And let's try Black Lodge.
Hello.
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 Hello. Yeah, yeah. SpongeBob SquarePants. Who would have thought it? Here in Indian World. Well, you see, that's part of the message. We ain't stuck in the history of our people. Yeah, well, you never know what you're going to hear from Black Lodge, and we're happy that we're able to bring you a little fun music for the children. You know, there's not much around for kids, and they shouldn't be overlooked the way they sometimes are. I don't care if they're Indian kids or other kids; they all deserve our attention, and we need to. Let them know they're loved and not just scold them when necessary. Well, let's see where we go from here, folks. Where do we go from here? Well, I've got people here on my right, and if there were room, there'd be people on my left. Stuff gets moved around, and then I'm wondering, where'd that go? The mail brought us a copy of a book called Blood Struggle by Charles Wilkinson. And if you were listening to Indian World here a few months back, you would have heard an interview with Mr. Wilkinson, who's an old friend of American Indians. And this is Blood Struggle, The Rise of Modern Indian Nations. And I can remember one thing that he has to say in his book is that it wasn't something that the positive changes that have taken place in American Indian society are not a product so much of our political friends and our do-gooders, but a lot of it is due to us helping ourselves. And this is so important to understand this. You can make a difference in the world. You can start small and work your way up to something bigger. When we started doing this radio show, it was a small station that felt like it was pretty big at that time, because we had just moved from one location to another, and we had bigger and grander studios, although it was nothing but 2x4s around my console. And then when we moved again, it was that way. But, you know, we've grown in power. We've grown in numbers. We've grown in audience. We've grown in going stereo. We've made so many positive changes. We're getting, because of the Internet, we've gotten on the Internet. We're streaming. We're heard all over the world. I personally bumped into one of my listeners from Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and that blew my mind. But Blood Struggle is a book worth reading, and let's see if I can figure out who the press is.
And who wrote it, John?
Norton Press. Charles Wilkinson, and he has been around in Indian, dealing with Indian law for a long, long time. His name is well recognized. W.W. Norton and Company produced it. I'm not allowed to mention prices, but it's quite reasonable in price. A Struggle, Blood Struggle, The Rise of Modern Indian Nations, again, is the title. And by the way, our phone is open when we're playing music, and that's 503-231-8187. I'd like to give a little shout-out to a couple of friends, which we'll do in a couple of minutes, but we have some friends that are scattered about here and there, and I'd like to, first of all, give a shout-out to Carol Craig from Umatilla and Bobby Connor from Umatilla. So Carol Craig, pardon me, is from Yakima. Bobby Connor is from Umatilla. I've said it backwards. But we have hopes that we can get both of them on Indian World here in the near future. And if you know people who are doers and shakers in the Indian community, we certainly are interested. When we say Indian, what do we mean? We're not talking about what is confined to the 50 states of the United States of America. We're talking about the Indian world, which includes all of Central and South America, which includes our brothers and sisters to the north in Canada. We're talking about all of those. These days, they're not Indians. I said, we are a nation, not a tribe. Some of the native Hawaiians, I believe it is here, I'm looking at on the cover of our latest listener guide, KBOO's listener guide, and we're having a big thing about our Pacific Islander citizens. Those people who were made, just like the American Indian, made citizens, like it or not. And we just grabbed up and said, you belong to us. So now here we are. And this country stew is getting more and more involved. But we like to honor them, too. We had a wonderful visit from the Maori people here a while back. They went down to Willamette University and put on a program over at the Halle Ford Museum of their weavings and telling bits of their lore and history and whatnot, and greeted by people from the Northwest Indian nations. Grand Ron was primary, I believe, amongst them. And that kind of interchange is valuable. We are not isolated. We're part of the world. We are part of the world. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The air is one. The water is one. The earth is one. And the people are one. We have with us a visitor by the name of Tom Moser, also known as Fish. And we'd like to say welcome to Indian World, Tom, or Fish.
Thank you, John. Thank you for having me in here today.
Try it again.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you having me in here this afternoon.
Yeah. It works better when the mic is on. Well, I know what brought you to the station today, but I heard in our hurried little passing, I heard a hint that you had some kind of news. First of all, what nation are you from, Tom?
I couldn't tell you exactly, John. It's a mix, but primarily I associate myself with the Salish Nation of the Northwest Pacific, as well as the Ojibwe in Northern Canada.
We have many people who are crosses between one tribe and another. I think that's why Tom B. Of Exit fame dubbed his group Exit. It does not mean the way out. It means the crossing of Indian tribes. X-I-T.
Exactly.
So we have the crossing of Indian tribes. We have a Shoshone Paiute woman here, and we have a Cherokee over here.
OCO, John.
and we have you, and I'm a Mohawk. So you see, we have a little UN right here in your KBOO studios. By the way, our phone number once again, when we're playing music, 503-231-8187. And we'd like to thank everyone out there, especially old Moody from over there in Sheridan. Your wonderful painting was a great gift. It is beautiful and well-crafted, and we really appreciate it. We'll see that it goes to good use. Had several wonderful comments about it and thought you might like to know. Tom, we're going back to you now. You where are you, in terms of geographical space, where are you from?
Geographical space, primarily all over the Northwest. Family traveled up and down between Oregon and Washington.
I see. And I heard something mentioned about Suquamish or something like that.
Yeah, John, my heart's a little heavy today. I found out some very disturbing news this morning. Earlier this week, during the weekend, it seems like a young man, 14 years of age, a student where my daughter goes to school, hung himself. 2 days later, another 14-year-old man did the same thing, and a young woman also in the class was taken into custody for making some threats up there at the school via a computer website. And
which school is this now?
This is the Kingston Junior High in Kitsap County, the very north end of the Kitsap Peninsula, located just across from Seattle and Edmonds. And it services both the Port Gamble Tsklalom Nation as well as members from the Squamish Nation up there. So, like I said, I'm just heavy-hearted finding out that the young man up there had those issues and problems.
Hopefully the Great Spirit is with their families.
Well, we have someone trying to call in. We'd like to ask you to be patient, wait for music, because that's the only time we can answer the phone, unless you want to be broadcast all over. And some of you do. We're in deep sympathy with our children who have found life so intolerable that they've decided to give it up prematurely. That's such a terrible problem with many of our children. We have about the highest youth suicide rate there is, and I think it comes from just not having enough hope in a good future. And we know that's part of the reason people become involved with gangs and drugs and too much alcohol. It is, much of it is born out of despair. Well, Tom, is there anything else you'd like to contribute to the show today?
No, not today. It looks like we're running a bit out of time. I just want to thank you again for allowing me to come up here and join you, and I look forward to joining you again in the weeks ahead.
Well, you certainly will be welcome, and I appreciate your coming here and taking a moment to share with us here on Indian World. Let's go to a different kind of music. We're going to go to a little Gary Small, and this was from the days when he was known as Reverend. No, this is not the Reverend stage. It's just Gary Small Band. Yeah, a little Gary Small there. And We always enjoy listening to a little more Gary Small. Portland man who's a hot musician, and I wish I could have a chance to hear more of him. That's from his album called Cheyenne Blue Revisited. He has three or four albums out. We have three of them here at KBOO. And we heard Cheyenne Blue. Well, had a request here. There's a stranger over my shoulder. There's a stranger here. Some troublemaker back here. Where are you?
They don't come any stranger than me, that's for sure.
It's Eugene Johnson over here, Rob. He who laughs a lot, and he who bitches a lot, too.
Not me, man. It wasn't me. Somebody that looked like me. Yeah, that's it.
Well, you wanted to give a shout-out to someone and play a piece of music for them.
Yeah, I want this song to go out to Rhonda. It's from Robbie Robertson's CD, Contact from the Underworld of Red Boy. And this is Peyote Healing by Primo and Mike.
I just might have to confiscate that album. To you, Rhonda.
Thank you.
Rhonda, we hope you enjoyed that, and we're happy to play that for you. And that was Robbie Robertson, and it was from an album, an old album, apparently, from the underworld of Red Boy in conjunction with Primo and Mike. So that brings it close to home. Well, we're going to introduce a guest here. We get lots of people wandering in and out of the studio, and I'm going to let Samantha, known as Sam, I'm going to let her introduce our visitor.
OCO, John, thank you. Along with Fish, my very, very good friend that I brought in, I also brought in my mother, who is my very, very good friend.
Well, I hope
and,
so.
Indeed I am. She's full of a lovely lady.
She's full of it. I'll say that.
Very good. Yes, I brought her up from California. She'll be up here in the Northwest with me for a couple of weeks, and we're going to tour around, John. If you've got any suggestions where to take her?
Oh, there are all kinds of things, and when we're off the air, I will make a suggestion or two. Well, I can make one or two on the air. The Chinese garden is lovely. Right down there in Old Town, you can take Max right to it. It's the last stop before you head to the east side of the river. Of course, anything up in Washington Park, the Washington Park itself, or the zoo, or Arboretum, those are all interesting. And those are something. You also have the Japanese garden up there. So we've got a couple of international gardens that are really special. This Chinese garden is the most authentic one outside of China, and was built with imported labor and materials. So that one was particularly interesting. And some of the high points, you know, up like Council Crest or Rocky Butte, where you, from points from which you can Mount Tabor, points from which you can get a good wide view of the whole area. Those are some places I would recommend.
Good idea. Really good
And there's
idea.
Also the End of the Trail Museum out there in Oregon City.
That's right.
Yeah.
We were talking about that on the way up here.
Well, and by all means, the relatively new Indian Center at Portland State University, which is teeming with activity right now because it's Indian Month, and they have all kinds of activities going on up there. Buddy, we're happy that you were able to share the microphone with us. Anything special, any observations you would like to make or comments or anything?
Oregon is a beautiful state, and I've had a great time since I've been here. My grandson took me all around the other day and saw a couple of lakes, And the people are so friendly and courteous. I'm very happy here.
Well, wonderful. We hope you get a chance to go up here and visit Mount St. Helens, too. There's that requires a full day. It's not a 10-minute trip. There is at Castle Rock, just as you enter Castle Rock, there's a theater with a movie that you will want to see of the eruption of Mount St. Helens. And then you go further, and there's one museum, and you go up to the viewpoint. I keep forgetting the whatever ridge, North Ridge or something like that, observation point, and you get different views of the mountain and a little history lesson and some observations by people in the logging business and so forth. So some Indian lore, all kinds of things. There's also the Laluska activities up there in Ariel, Washington. Somewhere I had in my notes here something from Laluska. I'll see if I can dig it out while we're playing music, and maybe I can tell more about it then.
Well, you're a wealth of information, John. Thank you.
Well, you're certainly welcome, and thank you for coming aboard here and saying hello. We're always glad to have visitors and sharing the microphone with our brothers and sisters from all over. Well, when we get talking about different tribes, I can't help but think of the biggest tribe of all.
Would do whatever he could, preach a little gospel, sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves, we'd hear it from the people of the town. They'd call us gypsies, tramps, and thieves. But every night all the men would come around and lay their money down. A boy just south of the Mobile, gave him a ride, filled him with a hot meal. I was 16, he was 21. Rode with us to Memphis, and Papa would have shot him if he knew what he'd done. Money down. I never had schooling, but it taught me well with its smooth Southern style. 3 months later, I'm a gal in trouble, and I haven't seen him for a while. Oh, I haven't seen him for a while. She was born in the wagon of a traveling show. Her mama had to dance for the money they throw. Grandpa do whatever he could, preach a little gospel, sell a couple bottles of Dr. Good. Gypsies, tramps, and thieves, we'd hear it from the people of the town. They'd call us gypsies, tramps, and thieves. But every night all the men would come around and lay their money down.
Well, as I say, that is representative of the biggest tribe of all. Well, we have Sunshine with us, and Sunshine is going to tell us a little bit about what's happening out there in the Indian world. What's going on, Sunshine?
Hi, John.
Good to see you again.
Hi, John. I have some notices here. Free concerts and family fun. It's held July 22nd, 23rd, from noon till 6 p.m. It's at Holiday Park. And featuring will be Michael Ryan, Kevin Ferguson, Max Street, Darby O'Gill, Jimmy Harden, and Pitchard Windows. And kids need both parents for this function going on. And for further information, you may call 503-724-3686. The phone number again is 503-724-3686.
Well, thank you, Sunshine. We'll have Sunshine back in a couple moments. We have a little technical problem here. We'll be back with you in just a moment.
This is Independent Native News for Thursday, the 18th of May. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock. The committee investigating the allegations of academic misconduct by a University of Colorado ethnic studies professor released its report on Tuesday. Ward Churchill has been under investigation for allegations of plagiarism and academic misrepresentation. Churchill has written extensively on Native American history. However, some critics say that he fabricated his own Native ethnicity. Last week, Churchill's wife and fellow ethnic studies associate professor Natsu Taylor Sato submitted her resignation to CU, citing the university's treatment of Churchill and disputes with the ethnic studies department among her reasons. From KGNU in Boulder, Maeve Conran has more.
Professor Marianne Wesson, the chair of the investigative committee, says there were concerns about the timing of the investigation, which coincided with the controversy over Churchill's writings on 9/11.
These essays played no part in our deliberations, but we do express our concern regarding the timing and perhaps the motives for the university's decision to forward the charges that were made in that context.
The university says that the investigation had nothing to do with Churchill's controversial writings, but rather the controversy was a catalyst for the other complaints. Churchill was accused of 7 counts of plagiarism and misrepresentation in his writings on Native American history. The committee found that he committed several forms of academic misconduct.
We do note additionally that Professor Churchill was disrespectful of Indian oral traditions when dealing with the Mandan Fort Clark smallpox epidemic of 1837, both in his essays and during the course of his investigation.
2 allegations which dealt with copyright issues and Churchill's Native American ethnicity were rejected by the committee as not being relevant to an investigation into academic misconduct. Throughout the course of the investigation, Churchill has repeatedly rejected the questioning of his Native American heritage and has been supported by the Colorado American Indian Movement. Following the release of the report, Churchill released a statement saying he will reject and contest each and every finding of misconduct and questioned the fact that the panel included neither American Indian scholars nor persons competent in American Indian studies. The university says it expects an official response from Churchill within the next 2 weeks. For Independent Native News, this is Maeve Conran in Boulder.
The provincial government in the province of British Columbia has signed an agreement with its Métis community. As Craig McCulloch reports, the agreement is expected to be a major stepping stone towards reducing inequality between the Métis and the general population.
The Métis Nation Relationship Accord is a follow-up to a larger agreement signed with Canada's major political and native leaders this past fall. Although that deal, called the Kelowna Agreement after the city where it was signed, has not been endorsed by the new Conservative government in Ottawa, the provincial British Columbia government has pledged to proceed with its commitments. Métis are offspring of mixed European Aboriginal relationships. The most recent accord sets goals to reduce the gap between Métis and the general population in areas of healthcare, housing, education, and employment. Keith Henry is the CEO of the Métis Nation of British Columbia, a group comprised of 35 community associations across British Columbia, which represents some 16,000 people over the age of 18. He says their concerns are not rights-based, but concern recognition. He hopes the agreement will help reduce the economic inequities faced by Métis individuals in British Columbia.
I think this agreement for us really makes sure that the provincial government understands that there is a Métis Nation here, and they show, and by them agreeing to sign this accord, they've shown that respect that there isn't Métis community in BC, and regardless of the rights-based agenda, there's still high unemployment, there's still realities that we're facing in terms of income levels and these sorts of things that have to be, you know, we have to achieve parity so that the Métis community is a productive part of British Columbia and Canada.
Henry says the Métis population faces 11% unemployment, significantly higher than the 4.5% of the general provincial population. The accord also involves Métis identification and data collection. According to Henry, this will allow them to identify Métis citizenship within British Columbia. It is hoped this would give a clear picture of how many Métis individuals currently reside in the province and other statistics. I'm Craig McCulloch in Vancouver.
This is Independent Native News. I'm Bonnie Sue Hitchcock.
Supported by Ridolfi Incorporated, designing and implementing restorative community development. RIDOLFI.com. Independent Native News is a production of KUAC at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Randy.
Why sudden
Yeah, on our last show, we mentioned this group. It's not an American Indian group. It's a local band called Power of County. And our friend JJ, who's a producer, shared this with us. And he assured me there was one song on there, at least, that had to do with Indian folks. And we hope you enjoyed it. We're piled up with all kinds of things. It's 2:34. You're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. And we hope that if you are listening to a stream, you'll let us know where you are located. And our number on the website is www.kboo.fm. And we will be happy to hear from you wherever you are. The further away, the more interesting. But even if you're next door in an area that can't get us by regular radio, because we're kind of blocked out, it's an FM station, and if there are big mountains in the way or too many trees or something, it interferes with, or tall buildings, it can interfere with reception. So you might be getting us on the computer. And we thank JJ for that contribution. I think it's worth another play sometime. Well, Sunshine's over here, and Sunshine has another announcement. Sunshine, what's going on, please?
Okay, John. They're having John Trudell movie or screen. And it's 2006 Yushi NACAM Speaker Series presents John Trudell, May 25th, 2006 at 7 o'clock p.m. Meet John Trudell and attend a bonus screening of his movie Trudell at PSU University Place. The address is 317 Southwest Lincoln, Portland, Oregon, 97214. For further information, you may call Yushi at 503-725-5671. Phone number again is 503-725-5671.
That's great, Sunshine. Thanks a lot. Folks, get your pens and pencils out. I have a few announcements to make. The class of 2006 Portland Public Schools Title VII Indian Education Project is inviting everyone to honor their 2006 Native graduates from Portland Public Schools and other local high schools. There'll be a light buffet at 6:30 p.m., RSVP by May 19th. It will be held on Thursday, May 25th, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Portland State University Native American Student and Community Center, the corner of Southwest Broadway and Jackson. The phone number is 503-916-6499. The next announcement is for the Traveling Art Train. It is put on by the City of Milwaukee and the Confederated Tribes of the Grand Ronde, bringing Traveling Art Train featuring Native American art to the metropolitan area. They'll be in Milwaukee, Oregon, and you can call 503-653-5771. 653-5771. This will be going on until Sunday, May 21st. The next announcement is Boogie Town Dance, Friday, May 19th, from 7 to 10 p.m. It's at the Mississippi Rising Ballroom, 4000 North Mississippi and Shaver in Portland, Oregon. It is a fundraising event for the 36th Annual City of Roses Delta Park Powwow and Encampment. Sounds great. And the phone number is 503-740-5373. 503-740-5373. The next one is the Culture Shock Art Show with Andre Morrison, with special guest DJ Shock B. Brian Trejo, 6 p.m. Saturday, May 27th, at the Native American Student and Community Center.
Well, thank you very much, and we will we'll be tuned in for some of those activities, and wanted to play a little bit of Aragon Star while we still have a little time left here.
Great.
This is for Eugene Johnson. Please don't touch the Indians.
One last look beneath the stars. Can't you see me holding back my tears? Though we part throughout the years, I won't forget my Mexican souvenir. I remember your laughter and the fun, holding your hands, being warmed by the sun. Though they're clay, they bring me cheer. I won't forget my Mexican souvenirs.
Por última vez, mírame bajo las estrellas. ¿No ves que no puedo mis lágrimas detener? Aunque lejos de ti, al pasar de los años, nunca me olvidaré de mis souvenirs americanos.
I remember your laughter and the fun, holding your hands, being warmed by the sun. Though they're clay, they bring me cheer. I won't forget my Mexican souvenir. Won't forget my Mexican souvenirs. Oh, oh, oh.
Cha cha cha. Hey, sorry about that. That was supposed to be Please Don't Touch the Indians, but there are no numbers on this disc that I have, and I must have miscounted. So please excuse the error there. They creep in every now and then, and Samantha had something that she wanted to add, too. She forgot a phone number. What was that you were telling me about?
Okay, it was the Culture Shock Art Show put on by the Native American Student and Community Center. And for more information, you can call 503-725-5671, 725-5671.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have also a piece of, well, we have better than a piece of news. We have the news, but we have a new book here from the University of Arizona Press, and it's a beautiful book of photographs called The Husk of Time, and they're photographs of Victor Masayeswa, and Jr. This is full of modern American Indian photographs, which are of a wide variety, very sensitive culturally, combining nature with some of the spirit images of the Southwest, and some other things that are very hard to describe in the kind of confusion that we go through around here on a live show. And we're happy to do it, but sometimes things get a little bit confusing. And that's understandable when you know the nature of the beast, at least. You know, life has never been simple for us skins anyhow. So Bear with us, bear with us. There's some flowers against a wonderful floral, cloud background with some Southwest Spirit images at the top of the page. The color is beautiful. The images are very complex and simple at the same time. It's an unusual book. I wish I had television for the moment, but... Well, I do, but that's another channel.
It looks beautiful from here, John.
It is. The Husk of Time by the University of Arizona Press, the photographs of Victor Masayeshva and Victor Masayeshva Jr. There's an introduction by Beverly R. Singer, and it's fresh out. Release date was May 11th, so you see we're right up to date here in River City. And, you know, when you go in your bookstore looking around for music or news, music or books or anything else, if you've heard about it here on Indian World on your community radio station, KBOO, let them know where you found out about it. Let them know that you're one of our listeners, and that's important for them and for us. Well, I ran into old friends, as I always do, at the powwow the other night at Portland State University. It was a lot of fun. I just wish that I could have stayed longer, stayed quite a while, but it was getting late and I had to move on. And I ran into the bow and arrow people over there, and that was so great. Sandy was there, and she was a whip woman for the powwow. And Sandy Allman has been involved with the Indian community since childhood. Her mom and dad were both strong supporters of the bow and arrow founders, I believe, of the Bow and Arrow Club. And they've gone to the spirit world now, but their children are involved and really pillars of American Indian culture here in the Portland area. But they have planning committee meetings. Everyone is invited to attend. This is in regards to the City of Roses Delta Park powwow and encampment, which will be held June 16th. 17th and 18th out at Delta Park, of course. And Friday the 6th, 6/16 is reserved for memorials, coming outs, etc., 7 to 10 p.m. And Saturday, 6/17, grand entries are at 1 and 7 p.m. Sunday, 6/18, is grand entry is at noon. And if you want to do other things this year, the Bow and Arrows decided well ahead of time to rent the Big Top in an effort to continue on with the powwow rain or excessive heat. The cost is over $3,000. We also have to pay the Parks Department $1,400 for the use of bleachers this year. We were told last year, so it is not a surprise, just more funds to raise. Volunteers are needed. Thursday at 6 p.m. at the park is when it all gets started, marking out the parking and camping spaces, arena, and vendor areas. Sponsorships. You and your family, your group, organization can sponsor dance categories. You will receive recognition in the program, and, of course, each time the category is announced, your sponsorship will be, too. Contact Sandy B, that's Sandy B. Allman, for more information. The Natural High Fun Run, Fun Walk, boy, that's a terrible thing to try to announce. Saturday morning at 10 a.m., a family event to promote prevention of the use of alcohol and drugs, sponsored by the National Indian Child Welfare Association, or NICWA, the Native American Rehabilitation Association, NARA, and Bow and Arrow Culture Club, and private individuals.
Sounds like a good one, John.
Yeah. Elder Leaders Diabetes Health Walk, organized by the Portland Indian Elders Group Sunday at 9:30 a.m. And there's a deadline Tuesday, June 6th, time to think about family or group sponsorships. Contact Sandy B. at 503-222-4044 or 503-740-5373. I don't know why we always seem to end up with multiple phone numbers. But if you didn't catch them now, you can call us after Indian World comes to a close at 3 o'clock, but I won't be here much later than 3. Vendors, if you're interested in helping Gina with vendor setup, please contact her at 503-408-0357. It says arena, Sandy B., Mark Labrador, John Campbell, Robert Colon, Al Highhorse, Farrell Ortiz, Gladys Ramirez, Joe Robbins, and Harold Paul. Contest scoring, Farrell and Gladys. Drum bosses, Al Highhorse, Harold Paul, and Robert Colon. Microphone runner, Joe Robbins. There's a raffle, Jewel Lamb and Caroline Underwood handle the ticket sales. And we need items donated. And 50-50s, Tippy, Jeannie, Barb, and Donita. This goes on, and I don't have time to read the whole thing, but small ways to help or donate. They can use batteries, bottled water, trash bags, tape, sanitary gloves, snacks for security and parking crews, coolers for water, and ice for elders and others in need of others in need. Raffle items, someone to make calls prior to the powwow, help set up, help clean up. On behalf of the Bow and Arrow Club, thanks everybody for your support.